Greetings. This is the Wednesday Rewind from the Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin.
We believe that God is the good and eternal creator of all things, seen and unseen, and that he has spoken authoritatively to us through his written word. We believe that every single human being is made by God and for God, and therefore is important to God, no exceptions. We also believe that every human being is sinful and broken, that even the best of us have deep-rooted evil in our hearts that comes out in all sorts of ugly ways in our actions, in our words, in our attitudes, no exceptions there either. We also believe that God was unwilling to let our sins have the final say over our eternity. And so he became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to save us and to open the eyes of our darkened hearts. We believe that Jesus didn't just perform miracles and love people and live a sinless life. And he didn't even just die on the cross, but actually 3 days later, he literally and physically rose from the dead to prove his power over sin and death and hell, and to offer to every single person in this room eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. That's what we believe. We believe that through Jesus, yes, we get heaven later. But right now, we get power and purpose and comfort and guidance and a family of faith to lean on for the rest of our life, starting right now. You cannot earn the grace of God by your good works, and you cannot lose it because of your bad ones. Otherwise, it would not be grace. No one is so good they don't need grace. No one is so bad they can't have it. But even in this very moment, the arms of Jesus Christ, the resurrected King, are open to you. For anyone who would reach up to him and stand on his gospel. That's what we believe.
Thanks for joining us today. Each week, we gather here at this time for this radio and this TV broadcast, and then we follow it up with our small group gatherings throughout Dunn County and well beyond. These small groups will be meeting after this broadcast to discuss the message and its application to their lives. Real faith lived out. Today we are here to rewind 2 John verses 1 through 6 from Sunday's message entitled Walking in Truth and Love. Let's jump in.
Now, as always, I think we are reminded that this letter, really like all of the New Testament in its totality, was effectively somebody else's mail. So now after spending 5 chapters in his first letter dealing with this issue of Christian love, John now writes his second letter almost, I guess, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it seems almost as if it's an addendum. Maybe he needed to clarify that supreme manifest of love, what it really looks like, not just in theory, but in practice. Because so much of Christianity oftentimes just kind of remains up here in our heads as some esoterical kind of idea, some philosophy that we think, well, we go to church and so I'm a Christian. But we don't really live it out. Because it's really easy to allow the culture in which we live in today to define the meaning of these words. John uses the word walking, and I emphasize that today because I got a great deal of curiosity as I started to dig into this passage. He says that we need to be walking in truth and walking in love. These things have to be more than simply something that belongs to our belief system. Such a walk is to be characterized by love and by obedience. And as he, again, as he speaks concerning later, a vigilance against deception, because we know that's out there too. Scripture directly connects love and obedience as inseparable companions. When love is exercised, again, not according to the world's definition or the practice of the world's definition, who can get on that train? I mean, that's forever moving. It's like a greased pig. You can't catch that. That's always a Gumby here. You're trying to figure out what that even means. Changing by the minute. John begins this short letter with the statement that he was writing to brothers and sisters whom he loves in truth. Loves in truth. He made sure that that was put there. He didn't just say, I love you. I love you in truth. And he felt it important herein to remark that he not only loved them, but how he loved them and why he loved them. It's just easier not to go down that road. It's just easier not to deal with these controversial issues. It's just easier to just kind of leave that out. And I see that a lot in our community. I'm not here to badmouth other churches. What I am to, I see so many churches in our community, what they teach from the pulpit is correct and righteous. It's not that they're teaching false doctrine, it's the fact that they aren't teaching all the doctrine. What they're teaching is good. But they're just going to focus on this little narrow line here, because out here, this stuff, whoa, people are going to be finding the door if we start preaching on that. That's why we have just pretty much tied our hands to the model of teaching through Scripture all the way. So listen, we can look at all of this and we can think this is great and this is all lovely, but understand that the truth can come at a cost. I think oftentimes now we seem to, I don't know, no longer understand, no longer respect the ramifications of our interactions with each other. And that says that truth must be walked in, verse 4, as much as love. Truth must be walked in as much as love. Who are we? Where are we going, and what are we going to be as we move into the years and the decades to come? And if you think it's going to get easier to be a Christian, you're dreaming. You will become more and more of a minority. Tell all of our ministry students when they first start, my warning to them is the middle of your life is going to go away. See, the world out there today is seeking for nothing but the middle. They will give up the highs as long as they get to give up the lows. And so they just want everything to be like this all the time and be safe. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a wild, crazy roller coaster ride.
There was a early Christian theologian by the name of Jerome. Now, Jerome was around 342, 347 AD, somewhere in that neighborhood. He is best known for his translation of the Bible into Latin, and he was known for his extensive biblical commentaries. Jerome wrote concerning the Apostle John, emphasizing his role as a disciple of love. John, who in his extreme old age was said to have been carried to the meeting place on the arms of his disciples, where he would repeat again and again the same exhortation, little children, love one another. You know, it's interesting to realize that if we did so as Christ wanted us to, the greater church today would indeed be a sanctuary of, as John put it, grace, mercy, and peace, The book of 2 John is a rather urgent plea, if you will, that the readers of John's letter should show their love for Christ, that they would express that genuine love in a lateral interaction with each other in the local body, and most of all, by walking out their lives in obedience to the scriptures. John essentially had spent the previous five chapters, that back in the first letter, addressing not only the importance of manifesting this agape love, but the mandatory aspect of such a practice in both an individual and in the local church. If such a practice is not present, we are told we're liars. We aren't truly Christians at all. Now, in this week's text, John went on to clarify some of the recipe of this agape love, particularly the inclusion of the element of truth. In other words, it's not really authentic agape love unless it's real, authentic truth. And moreover, truth according to God. Now, no one else gets to force themselves into that mix with their own new and improved modern version of truth. So, how are we to love one another? Well, again, as John said, in the truth. Now, that's significant, for it means that such truth was and is yet today a critical aspect of the love in which we are loved by Christ. We are then called to love one another in that same manner. Hence, an agape love infused with truth. Just as Jesus Christ loved, just as the Word of God instructs us. Now this, of course, is a love that is entirely different from the love that is displayed in the world. The world's love focuses upon stuff like infatuation and passion and feelings and sentimentality. Things like personal pleasure and gratification and loving those who love us. But the love of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, well, that's a different love. It's a love that gives sacrificially, that engages those around us, even if they are unlovely and unattractive. It's a love that reaches out to people even when they don't deserve it. The love of Christ loves everyone, no matter who they are or what they have done. The love that are to have, the love that we are to have, is the love of Christ. And the love that knows this fact. Christ loved us. He gave himself for us, even when we didn't deserve it. It is the love that tells us this. We must do as he did, or we aren't genuine children of God. We can go to church. We can live out nice moral lives and be as lost as the worst pagan sinner out on the street. Because you see, God doesn't see a difference, a differentiation between those two individuals. The bottom line is one is all the way in, or she and he is not in at all. One main focus this week was the inclusion of the word walking. Walking when John spoke of both love and truth. That word in combination with truth and love means one's pursuit of these things is more than merely a belief system, more than a, I don't know, cultural religious observance. John could have used a lot of different words there if all he wanted was to express action. Living, practicing, embracing, etc. The vernacular options really here are quite endless, but he used the term walking. One has to wonder, it was that on purpose, and it seems so. Because the word walk in the original text, it speaks volumes. It means to be occupied. It means to make one's way. It means to progress, to make due use of opportunities. It means to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. So it speaks of an action that is steady and a deliberate forward movement and forward activity and offensive action, if you will. Not merely some form of personal defense. It speaks of living purpose and determination. John clearly connects the issues here of love and obedience. The obedience seems to serve as an authenticating of the love as genuine. It moves out of merely lip service, rather, and into the realm of the fact, the realm of truth, when such is run through the sieve of obedience. John began this letter by saying that he was writing to brothers and sisters who he loves in truth. Clearly, he felt important to state that he not only loved them, gang, but how he loved them and even why he loved them. He was able to love in such a way because the truth abides in us, he says in verse 2. He loved them with an authentic and a genuine love because he did so through that lens of authentic truth. It was honest, it was factual, it was effectual. It was and is a love that moves each other forward. No one that pacifies another to remain in their comfy chair. That's not what this is about. That comfy chair of apathetic and lazy self-aggrandizement. The fact stands in our modern world that we seldom truly know ourselves, or at least are willing to acknowledge who we really are. We tend to at least want to see ourselves as spiritual giants, pushing out our chests while our capes flutter in the wind. We feign that we are strong and tough in the face of trial and worldly effect, while so often in reality, we are indistinguishable from those in the world. Thus, what is missing is not some version of love, but every version of truth. This aspect makes this letter as pertinent in our current cultural Christian community as it was in John's day. The greater church today has, really to a vast degree, lost that truth aspect of love. And now we are apparently no longer aware. I mean, most of the time, the ramifications of our actions, our interactions, and sometimes even our inactions, even as we may be trying in our flesh the best we're able on some level to reflect some kind of Christian love. It appears we need not care about the secondary fallout, you know, the stuff due to our support of a person or cause, or the impact of our half-love and our blind tolerance, new definition, acceptance, and support, by the way. You know, we don't have to worry about the impact of that as long as we feel good about ourselves. It seems we now value the emotional feel-good experience as the highest manifestation of faithful Christian love, even if the truth is nowhere to be found. But John is declaring a very different picture here. John, the apostle that Jesus loved, one of the 12 who walked with Jesus, loved Jesus and was loved by Jesus in a real-time, tangible way that we, as we said before, can only dream about. It says that truth must be walked in, verse 4, just as much as love must be walked in. If we are to know and experience and be able to actually give out that true reflection of the Son of God, we must know how to walk both in truth and love.